We'll be focusing our thoughts on verses 25 to 30, but I wanted to read the larger passage to give us the context. Paul here is writing to the church at Philippi, and he writes these words. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. May God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. When you and I became Christians, if you're truly trusting in Christ, this has happened in your life, we became part of Christ's body, the church. And one of the greatest blessings of being part of the body of Christ is that we are not alone trying to face the trials that come our way. And trials will come our way because we live in a fallen world. Today we'll look at Philippians chapter 2, mainly at verses 25 to 30, as a good example of how the church should be a healthy body working together. And it helps as we start to think about the background here. Paul is writing this epistle from prison, and generally believed that he was in Rome in prison. It was his first imprisonment there, and there would be another later, and we know that he ended up ending his life there. Probably he was under some form of house arrest or confinement other than in a dungeon. So it wasn't the worst possible arrangement. If he'd been in the dungeon, he wouldn't have been isolated, so he couldn't have interaction with other people. But we know that he did have interaction. He was able to have visitors. He was able to share his testimony, not only with the guards, but with others that would come his way. And so we're not totally sure exactly what his arrangement was, but it was not the worst, but it was certainly not the best arrangement, because he was imprisoned and he was unable to go anywhere on his own like we would normally do. Now, the church at Philippi knew that Paul was imprisoned, and they had sent Epaphroditus to him, and he came as their messenger. He was one that they really trusted. He was one that they honestly believed they could send to him, probably a leader in the church, one who knew what was going on and would faithfully represent it to Paul and bring back Paul's words of encouragement to the church. He traveled a distance of about 800 miles, if you look on the map, about the distance from New York City to Chicago. And of course, he had good Roman roads, and so it only took about a month to make the trip. And that was a blessing for him. But of course, we think in modern terms, where you hop on a plane and in 2 hours you're there, it didn't take him 2 hours. It took him a month if he went by road, maybe a little shorter if he went by sea, and it was possible to sail to Rome, of course. And but it was a major investment of time. It was a major investment of his energy, his resources, and just not an easy thing to do. Because many people traveled these roads, and there was a lot of travel between those two cities, Philippi and Rome. The news did go back and forth between them, and that's how the people in Philippi happened to know that Epaphroditus had been very sick. So somebody had gone back and said that this had happened. And as we look at these items in the scripture and we look at the record, we need to keep in mind that lots of times there were months involved in between events that we see recorded in the scripture. It's kind of hard to think of things in that way when we're so used to the modern means of communication and so on. And you know, Beverly and I can talk to Emily on Skype and see her. And right now, that didn't happen back then. And so we need to keep that in mind as we think about these things. And so it took a few months for all this to happen. And Epaphroditus brought news. And every time someone would travel, they'd bring news. What's going on at the point where they left the place? And then a month later, they'd arrive, and you'd get the news about a month later as to what had happened last month. And this would enable Paul, of course, once he heard from Epaphroditus, to know and to more effectively pray for that church and for the people there. And it would help Paul to know what to tell them when he responded to them later on. And so then when Epaphroditus went back to Philippi, he brought this letter, the Philippian letter that we now read in our scripture. He brought that with him. And that was the message that they would have received from Paul a month after Epaphroditus left Paul. Epaphroditus was also the one sent by the church to minister to Paul in his imprisonment. And you'll notice he didn't just go to deliver the letter, show up, deliver the letter, and then leave. That wasn't what he did. Rather, he stayed, and he brought gifts with him from the church, and he stayed with them, with Paul, and he ministered to him, and he provided. And the arrangements are different today than they were back then for someone who's imprisoned. And so he was able to bring things, food and clothing or whatever Paul might need, basic things, to Paul and to minister to him and to pray with him and to bring word out to the church in Rome from Paul in prison. And so kind of a liaison between Paul and other faithful believers in that city. He remained to serve Paul then, as Paul would have need. And there was a risk to Epaphroditus. Remember that Paul is in prison, and back then there could easily be a death sentence handed down for someone that the Roman government felt was causing problems and maybe disruption in their lives. in the life of Rome, or someone that was opposed to the emperor, or said, you know, even saying little things, kind of similar to what the situation in North Korea is like today, if you say something ill about the leader there. And the friends of those who are condemned could easily face the same risk. There's a guilt by association there that was a real potential for Epaphroditus. And so he was taking a risk by staying and ministering and being identified as one who was with Paul. And he didn't mind doing that. He was glad to do that. He came to do that, and he was faithful in it. And so through their gift and the service by Epaphroditus to Paul, then the church at Philippi was actively sharing in enabling Paul to spread the gospel. And you notice how the church is working together here. And that's an important thing for us to keep in mind as a church and as part of a larger body, the whole body of Christ. And so in this passage, then we see the parts of the body working together the way they're intended to work to advance Christ's kingdom. We see Epaphroditus and Paul are brothers in Christ. And so they are separated by a long distance most of the time, but they're brothers in Christ. They are fellow Christians. They're both redeemed by Christ, who paid the penalty for their sin. And now they're united as parts of the body of Christ. And they work to demonstrate to all those around them the love that Christ had shown to them. As parts of the body, they're concerned for one another and for the rest of the body, even though they're often separated by large distances and not able to communicate like you and I are today. When one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it. And of course, when one part of the body rejoices, the whole body rejoices with it. When all the parts of the body are healthy, then the whole body thrives as the body works together. And you'll note how the sickness that Epaphroditus suffered affected everyone. It was an immediate concern for Paul, who could only pray for a full recovery. Of course, they didn't have the medical means that we have today to deal with illnesses. And so the most significant aspect of recovery oftentimes was simple prayer. And Paul prayed. And the people prayed. And when the word got back to Philippi, the people in Philippi prayed. And God blessed with deliverance from that illness. We don't know what the illness was, but we know that it was serious and it was something that he very well could have died from. And he came close to death. And the church was concerned. And you notice the love and the concern there on both parts. The church in Philippi, Paul and others, I'm sure, who were there in Rome, praying that this man would be delivered from his illness. And God answered that prayer. And then Paul's concern for the church at Philippi led him to willingly give up the service that was being provided by Epaphroditus so he could return home and personally show himself to the church as being well again, as being healthy enough to walk for a month, 800 miles. And so we see the care and concern one for another. And Epaphroditus and Paul are not just brothers either. They're fellow workers serving Christ. They labored together as they went day by day there in Rome. They labored together for the cause of Christ. And as Epaphroditus would go home and Paul would continue in Rome and then go on elsewhere, the church as a whole labored together. They prayed for one another. They supported one another. They worked together, one with another. And so Paul and Epaphroditus weren't just sitting on the sidelines. They were active in the work of the kingdom. They were totally committed to doing whatever God called them to do, even if it meant losing their life here on earth. Paul's imprisonment was being used by God to advance the gospel. And it's interesting to see how God used that imprisonment and how he used the Roman roads and all the things that were going on to advance the gospel and the word spread. Epaphroditus and Paul are not just brothers and fellow workers, but they're also fellow soldiers battling the enemies of Christ. They're willing to stand up against Satan and his attacks on the church. Once again, even if it meant losing their lives here on earth, because they knew they had eternal life with Christ awaiting them. They were willing to endure persecution if necessary. Whatever God called them to, whatever he called them to endure, whatever he called them to do, they were willing and ready and did to the best of their ability what God had called them to do. And so we see the church working together here. How does that affect us, and how should we respond to what we read here? First of all, we recognize, and we need to recognize, that we are a part of the body of Christ. We're not just individuals left to fend for ourselves, but we're part of the body. If you've come to Christ, you're part of the body. You are part of the body of Christ. And as we care for our, just as we care for our own physical bodies, so too we must care for the body of Christ that we're part of. And so we're called to be concerned for one another, to pray for one another, to minister to one another as we have opportunity and need, and we recognize need, to share our own concerns that others may minister to us, to love one another, to care for one another, to show the love of Christ to one another and to the world around us. And we need to recognize that we are part of the whole body of Christ that is over all the earth. And here and in any congregation around the world, we tend to focus on our own body right here. And that's an appropriate thing to do. But we need to remember that we are part of a much larger body. Even the RPCNA, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, we have congregations in the U.S., in Canada, just had our first congregation open in Chile, down in South America. We have congregations in Japan. We have congregations in three other places that we've been asked not to mention the names of when we might be broadcasting. And, of course, our sermons are recorded. And it's a sad commentary on human rights in the world that we can't openly talk about some of these places because of persecution that would come to God's people there. And it's interesting to note one of the blessings of going to Synod is that you see the larger body. And the same when you go to the White Lake Camp or to the International Conference, you see the larger body, that we're not just this group here, but we're part of something that's bigger. And it's interesting to note one of the things that was brought out at Synod is that there are more people worshiping in Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America congregations outside of North America than there are in North America. Actually, it's close to three times as many. And it's interesting to understand that. And we should pray particularly for what's called our East Asia Commission and for the blessings, and give thanks for the blessings for the people who have come to Christ, where they face persecution and have to meet in homes and be concerned as to whether they will be arrested and persecuted. The RPCNA has established a new denomination in South Sudan, in Africa, and still has an active mission work there. We're one small denomination, and we are small. Of the Reformed denominations, we're about the smallest. But yet, God has blessed us in many ways. And it's important to understand that we're part of that bigger body and to see where there are opportunities for us to share in the ministry that's going on throughout the world in our own denomination and to give thanks for that. And then also to recognize that there are many brothers and sisters in other denominations doing likewise, and we need to pray for them and support them as well, and to rejoice with them as we see God's word going forth. We're called to follow the example we see in this passage for today, then, as we relate to our own body and as we relate to the larger body, caring for the needs as we see them and seeking to advance Christ's kingdom throughout the world as we have opportunity to help those serving in other places. And so the call on you and upon me is to be just like Paul and Epaphroditus and the church at Philippi and the church at Rome, who work together as the body of Christ to build up the kingdom. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this example, and we thank you for showing us how we should be functioning as a church, and we pray that you would encourage us in that you would encourage us where we're already doing those things like we see in this example, and that you would encourage us to do even more and to be faithful as we minister and as we have opportunities to minister in various places in various ways. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you do open up opportunities. And we pray that you would bless us and help us as a body to work together as a body and help us as part of the body of Christ to work together with the larger body of Christ, that your name would be praised and honored. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And please turn with me now to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, I'm singing from the A selection, a psalm that speaks